the Crate. Thanks to your friendly neighbourhood record store, Southbound Records.
Hey, 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 Troy.
Hello. How
good
are
morning.
You?
Good morning. Good morning. Hey, Mr. Bag of Records. What's in your bag of records?
Well, you'd think that there'd be a point comes where you're not very thrilled by things that are coming out that you haven't heard of.
You mean just spoilt little shits?
You'd think that just, there is such a point.
Your record store day. You've had you get these pointers and these tips every week about great records that are coming out. You'd think people might get just a bit too comfortable with it, eh?
Yeah, you'd think so.
A bit sort of. Neither here nor there. Com si, com sa. You know? Ambivalent.
But then what happens?
Oh my god!
This record here.
Oh! What is it? Turkish Ladies!
Now, Turkish Ladies.
Female singers from Turkey, 1974 to 1988. Compilation curated by Ladies on Records.
Now, Ladies on Records is a DJ and a researcher, I think from Poland originally. She lives in Istanbul in Turkey and has put together this compilation of not necessarily her favourites, because some of her favourites weren't available, but her mostly favourite things made by, as it says,
Turkish Ladies.
It is an eye-opener and an ear-opener. It's a really, really splendid compilation, to the point where I listen to it once at work. Oh, no, that's it. I'm taking it home. So I bought one instantly.
So you've added this to your personal collection?
Yes, I have.
Good to know, Now, this is the celebrating Turkish music from the late 60s, 70s and 80s and the female narrative of this exciting period in music from Turkey. You know, I think it's fair to say we are... We are sorely ignorant of the Turkish sound.
Absolutely.
In this country, you know.
I had not heard of any of the artists on this Turkish Ladies, I hadn't even heard of some of the styles of music that they're playing.
All right.
Open up that gatefold.
Whoa.
No, way open. Open it again.
Hold on, I've just got to pass all the facts and information and there's a huge breakdown of each song.
There is a huge essay that ladies...
Look at that. Yeah. Oh, here's some of the Turkish ladies. Look at that. What glamorous women. They were different times, weren't they?
Well, weirdly enough, that was 70s and 80s, those pictures you're looking at there.
That would make sense. Maybe, yeah, there's a sort of dynasty-esque in the middle.
Yep.
What the top one is just classic, you know?
Hulu Sapan, she opens the album. She's really great. And now that style of poster is...
What does it say? Gilda Kirkpatrick in the middle.
Gülden Kurbukek,
Gonul Yazar and Nessie Alkin.
Yep.
Now, none of these are who we're listening to now, is it?
The one we're going to listen to now is...
Physically, what a great record.
Yeah.
Although the sort of thing when you pass it over to someone, like you pass it over to me, you're careful that they're going to not just rip into it and go, oh, sorry, I ripped out the middle, but... No. Good solid. What a presentation.
This
I'm just passing Turkish Ladies.
Turkish Ladies. Now the styles of music on here. I mean, it's all in the pop idiom, the Turkish pop idiom,
With the female narrative.
With the female narrative, and the other thing is that there is different ethnic groups in Turkey who have different musical traditions, different folk traditions, things like that. The tune we're going to hear was. A folk song and a Levy folk song. However, in 1987, when it was done by this particular lady, whose name is, what is her name? Gül Sagan?
Gül Sorgun.
Yes. It was tied into like a rising women's movement that was happening at the time. It's a tune about someone being banished from the village for loving too much.
We've all been there. That's isn't that funky little doom 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 doom. Today could be the day that you welcome Turkish music into your record collection.
Absolutely. Wait for this.
What's that? instrument that is. That strings in.
Yeah. You like that instrument though?
I like that, I do like that. Yeah. There's quite a chorus of them there too.
Yeah. Now, if you listen to the drums and the bass in this, you'll hear that it's like kind of 4/4 funk disco.
It's actually quite Bee Gees-esque. What year are we talking for this track?
87.
87.
1987.
Yeah. Shoulder pads. Know, I'm just trying to paint a picture of Turkey in 1987. I can't.
No, I can't either.
Like I say, woefully ignorant. Although Midnight Express, when was that set?
That was the late 70s. Yeah. Did you know Midnight Express was banned in Turkey? Completely
banned.
Yeah,
I can see why.
Yeah. The other thing, interesting you mentioned Midnight Express, is the lady who opens this album, the lady on the front, her single was used, in fact, this single here was used in Midnight Express.
This one we're listening to now?
No, not this one.
I was going to say, that would be too much of a coincidence. Well. Yeah.
What you have on this record is a lot of things which might sound initially...
That'll be like that Hill Street Blues coincidence that I...
That was a really
good
one.
...came up the other day, yeah.
Right. So, there's a lot of things here that you might think is, oh, I get that sort of pop music a la Turk, but it isn't so simple as going, as listening from a...
That's exciting to listen to, I reckon.
It is, yeah. It is. There's one or two straight disco tunes on there that with a different vocal, you know, could have come from anywhere. But that's it. Everything else is like so immersed in.
All right, it's going to be playing on your platter at home, isn't it?
Already has been, yeah.
All right, what's next?
Next is something else. I just want to say about Turkish Ladies. Ladies on Records, who's put this together, points out that none of these people became huge stars in Turkey.
How cool. How cool that they together all those tunes together nowadays.
Now, the next one we have, in Japan in the late 70s, Herbie Hancock was treated with kind of reverence he wasn't really being treated with in the United States. He was still releasing records in America, but in Japan, they almost doubled the amount of records that Herbie was doing.
Up there, right?
Huge! So, at the same time he was doing his Headhunters kind of funk, he was also doing like his post-bop thing with a group called VSOP, which was basically the Miles group from 1965 with Freddie Hubbard subbing for Miles. So there was a few of those VSOP releases came out.
Big hitters, yep.
Also, he was doing, he was moving further into that sort of soul, pop R&B, jazz, fusion-y kind of stuff. And one of the things he did was him and selected Headhunters got together in 1979 and made this record with this lady, Kimiko Kasai. Now, this was only ever released in Japan.
I've heard about this album somehow.
Butterfly. Well, it's one of those records that has been hugely sought after outside of Japan because you couldn't get it, you know. So what we have, Kimiko Kasai with Herbie Hancock. This is 1979.
Four tracks?
No,
eight tracks. I can't see because there's that thing on the thing.
And it's a covers record.
Wow. They do a cover of Thought. Is that the I Thought It Was You?
Yeah.
I Thought It Was You. I love the track. Cool. Wow. So and that's her on the cover there. What was her...
Kimiko Kasai was...
What was she up to?
Well, she was a...
Vocalist?
A vocalist. Going back to about 1970, she'd been, sort of a more middle-of-the-road vocalist. Soon after this record, she decided to leave singing altogether and became a jewellery designer.
Uh-huh.
But this record here is really something. Now, you can see that now we've presented it the same way that it was presented initially with the Japanese obi strip. You'll see.
Is that what that's called? The obi strip? The what? Obi strip?
Obi. Now, an obi is a sash in Japan, like a sash.
Yeah. Look at those cool. In the import bins and go, cool.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. And why is it so much more expensive with that?
I can't even read it. How cool.
So now again, I've pressed it on 180 gram, done a really, really nice remastering job. Like I said, it's a covers album. But what's this tune, Mike?
As around the sun, the earth, not she's revolving.
Stevie Wonder tune
Wow, that's cool. It's sort of almost not cool, but then it is cool.
Well, it's the most mainstreamy thing that Herbie was doing at the time, but I think that it has
You know, her voice is sort of teeters on not working, but then it is working. Yeah. You know, it's, I love that.
But how was Herbie's vocoder?
I love it. I love that. He runs a good vocoder. Rock it. And the, but, you know, just of all the vocalists he could work with, you know?
Yeah.
I wonder why. I mean, it works. I think it works, but... Listen to the oohs in the background. And the seasons know exactly when to change. Just as kindness know no shame.
So, as I said, there was Headhunters on this record as well. Actually, the lineup on the record, Herbie, who does all of the different keys and synths and vocoders and acoustic piano on two of the tunes, one being his own Maiden Voyage. Webster Lewis also plays keys. Alphonse Mouzon from the Headhunters.
Alphonse.
Yep. Paul Jackson. Ray Oblado. Bill Summers. Benny Maupin. So not your favourite headhunter, the guy with the moustache and the hair.
No,
he wasn't on it on this one.
The is that why it's been so sought after? You think because of the music more, or just the lineage?
I think it's because it was something so different for what Herbie Hancock was doing, and there's a nice idea of Herbie backing a middle of the road Japanese singer. Yeah. Doing covers. It's just like a cool idea.
Yeah. All right, what's next, Troy?
Next. Now,
so that's on vinyl up there on the South Bay Records right now?
Yeah, that one's only on vinyl, Kimiko Kasai.
Yeah, fair enough.
Turkish Ladies you can get on CD.
Now, what I'm looking for now, Troy, I'm looking for an album that changed my life, that was part of a really good run of music. But so, I want it on vinyl. I want that.
Do you want it on a 2LP set?
Heavy vinyl?
Yeah,
if you've got it.
Double. Okay, I think I have just the thing here for you now. This is a record from 1992.
Good year for records.
There you go. What do you think of this one? Does this one fit the bill?
That certainly fits the bill. This is an essential record for any music fan to have. I love that heavy vinyl. I just can't tell you how much I enjoy this album. This is a real... I may take this off your hands today, actually.
Hey, tell me about your history with this album.
Well, my history with this album is I was listening to BFM, mm-hmm. and heard a couple of tracks off it, which blew my mind, and then was lucky enough to drive the band around when they were here, when they came over on their first tour.
Yep.
Who did they play with at the Town Hall?
Iggy Pop.
It was with Iggy Pop, yeah. Eh? That's right, yeah. So they played with Iggy Pop at the Town Hall, and it was next level. It was so awesome, and they were such good dudes, and the lead singer has gone on to make much more mellow music.
Yep.
And not wear any shoes ever.
Ever.
But he's come up here to BFM many times, and he's always got a smile and a wave and even a gift now and then for the old have.
Yep.
Which is wonderful. And Michael Fronte is his name, and he's a really cool played up at my bar.
He played
up at my bar when he was at Spearhead. But this is back when they were on Alternative Tentacles. Weren't
right.
they? Was this
is their first non-Alternative Tentacles release, but
right. But they that was where they started off on Alternative Tentacles.
They did,
didn't
yes.
they? And then they suddenly just hit the big time with, I guess, Television, Drug of the Nation.
Yep.
Was that the big one? You reckon?
That was the big one.
Yeah.
Weirdly enough, Television, the Drug of we haven't said to the people who don't know who you're talking about who we're talking about.
The Disposable Heroes of Hypocrisy.
There you go.
Which is Michael Franti, and I don't even remember the other guy's name, which is really bad.
Ronno, I think.
Ronno, that's right. Yeah. Ronno Gorsi.
So,
I'm very fond of this record.
So what we have here is the kind of... It was coming at hip-hop from a really weird angle. Now, Franti, of course, had been in another Alternative Tentacles band called the Beatniks beforehand. Remember that?
Yes, yes.
And the Beatniks, I think Television, Drug of the Nation was originally their song.
It's quite different.
And they came at things from sort of a clanking industrial perspective, I guess.
Well, Ronno used to play the angle grinder on stage as Disposable Heroes, if you remember.
That's right.
They did a bit of clanking around there,
yep,
as well.
There was some clanking. In fact, if you look at the cover here, what it's not Ronno, but that's right there.
He's got an angle grinder on the front of a tank.
That's right.
You know what I loved about that album? Some really great political conscious lyrics in there.
Yeah.
Really, some of the best lyrics that were of the era.
And I don't think that it was self-consciously conscious either.
No.
And there was nothing, to me, it was just like a...
I don't find one single thing about Michael Franti that's fake at all. I think he's genuine from the soul.
I'm not a big fan of his post-Disposable Heroes music.
Shit, no, me neither, but he's a good dude.
Yeah, okay. Also, the tune I chose off this wasn't Television Drug of the Nation, which is great, which I think is almost...
Was it Fine and Dandy, like Amos and Andy?
I like that one too, and I really like Satanic Reverses, but the one I really wanted to play, because it samples a good friend of mine and yours.
And is a hell of a track to remake in a hip-hop style.
Yeah, and change the lyrics. Oh, it sounds like California Uber Alice.
By the Dead Kennedys. They're also on Alternative Tentacles, and that's where they got the idea from, hanging out with the Dead Kennedys. Jell-O and the like.
There's Jell-O.
Here comes Mr. Franti, taking someone else's song and then turning into their own now.
I'm your governor, Pete Wilson, you know, the baddest governor to ever grab a mic and go boom!
Woo! Love it!
Give me a beat and I'll show you how to jack it. I give the rich a giant tax loophole. I leave the poor living in a poop hole. At a time when AIDS is in a crisis, I cut health care and I raise prices. Sales tax, snack tax, excise tax, information attack with a newspaper.
All right, there's your topics for the day already. He definitely comes from the Chuck D school of MCing, doesn't he?
He does.
Strident.
You might remember the last one this state's in. California, Uber Alice. California, Uber Alice.
Fuck yeah, this is awesome.
California, Uber Alice.
This hasn't been available on vinyl.
I don't think it has.
No, I don't think I've seen it on vinyl for ages.
And I don't remember if the last time I saw it on vinyl, whether it was spread over two LPs or just crammed all into one disc. I can't recall. But even so, 1992 is a long time ago. However,
still sounds fresh as a Reagan album.
Yeah, it does. Like the other things we listened to today, I think that the Turkish Ladies still sounds like completely relevant. And Kimiko Kasai and Herbie, it's this kind of thing which could potentially come out now, probably on Brain Feeder or something like that.
Zigackly. And Disposable Heroes of Hypocrisy just as solid, eh? Solid. Inspirational stuff.
Look at Ronno.
All right, Troy, so these are all available at Southbound Records right now?
Yes, indeed. Everything's on the shelves up at Southbound Records, along with a whole bunch of other... There was quite a lot of things released in the last week, so...
Was there a bit of an after record store day, didn't get there in time for record store day pile of records?
I think we're almost at the end of those
ones.
You know,
here's what I'm going to say to you about record store day, Troy.
Yeah.
I've been into that record store, and every day is record store day in that store.
There is, yeah.
All right, so thanks very much. All the best.
Thank you, Hank.
Bye-bye.
See you.
Thanks to Southbound Records, 132 Simon Street, next to T. White Spikes.